KDX News Time, it's 8:35. It's time to hear from our friends at Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. Here's Kaylee and Richard.
And we welcome you to Southern Utah's first and only elder care radio program.
I hope everyone had an enjoyable week, under the current circumstances, that is. We realize that many of you are at home in isolation. Some have lost jobs, and others have many pressing concerns. We hope today's discussion will help you to feel empowered going forward and take this opportunity to focus a little time on yourself and becoming your best medical advocate.
So last week's show brought a lot of questions, and we are so excited to be here to answer some of those questions today. We sincerely appreciate everybody's feedback and input, and if you have any questions this week, please give us a call. Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, the phone number is 435-477-6999. My name is Richard, and this is Kaylee.
I'm going to get right into the questions here, and Andy, please don't be afraid to jump in and
Let me play today, huh?
Yeah,
awesome, I love it.
So what is the difference between palliative care and hospice care?
That's a great question. Hospice care is always palliative care, but not all palliative care is just hospice care.
Hospice care is very well defined by Medicare, and every hospice provider in town conforms to that minimum standard. That standard is a good start to great care, but if your hospice provider is trying to just meet that Medicare minimum standard, then we feel you're not benefiting from all the potential services that are available that exceed that standard.
So while hospice care really has a well-defined understanding, palliative care can have a wide array of meanings. To date, the definition of palliative care is quite subjective. Everyone can create their own impression of the word. While we have a very expansive understanding or definition for palliative care, not everyone has that same understanding. One definition of palliative care is anything that addresses a symptom. So in theory, if we take opioids, we're masking a symptom. In some twisted sense, I guess, the distribution of opioids could be considered palliative. But that's not really the intent of the word palliative care. I think that's a really narrow definition. So expanding on that, since hospice is appropriate for those who don't have a cure available or choose not to pursue a cure, everything that hospice does really is palliative because it goes towards managing symptoms. Hospice is about trying to provide comfort and alleviating symptoms at that time. We focus on those things. So the Medicare standard is really just a subset of what palliative care can be.
That's right. Pathway's understanding and direction we've taken for palliative care comes from three very different hospice experiences that we had with my parents and with Richard's dad when he passed away. We did not fully appreciate at that time the palliative program that was provided for my mom. The hospice company in Las Vegas thoroughly involved us in the entire care planning. The nurse explored our ideas and asked what would be important to us. My mother happened to be very holistic in her beliefs. The nurses helped us find people and products that weren't readily available 17 years ago. We tried reflexology, ionic foot detoxing, juicing, aromatherapy, among many, many other irregular procedures. While these measures are not for everyone, my mother had a deep-seated belief in natural medicines, so we tried everything. Our family felt like we had served our mother, created a wonderful bonding experience, and never lost hope in the process. My mother passed away without regrets. She had a storybook ending. My father did not have that same belief in natural medicine. We knew he had no desire to try any of the peculiar things my mother did, and that was okay. What we didn't understand at the time was that we had the right to be a part of his care planning, like we were with my mom. We should have known that we could make our own decisions. The nurses should have inquired as to what his end-of-life goals were and what we as a family wanted for him. Sadly, my dad died alone after being on hospice for only 3 days. We never expected him to pass so quickly. We feel the regimen of the drugs prescribed for him put him to sleep and was more than his heart could take. We missed being able to hold him and tell him how much we loved him when he passed. He died alone in his sleep. 3 years later, and I still have so much regret over the questions I didn't ask and what I didn't know at the time. Palliative care should be about the patient and caregiver's choice, not about what the nurses want for you. That is why we are here. We want to ensure that Southern Utah has the opportunity to make their own choices, that they will be educated to know what questions to ask, that their desires and goals will be explored so that their end-of-life experience is beautiful and filled with lasting end-of-life memories like it was for my mom.
Well, I didn't realize you were going to share that today. So let me field that next question. Andy, do you want to ask it, and I'll just start and give her a moment?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me just say on a personal note, my mom is on hospice right now, and so this is a topic for me that is very personal and very real as I listen to you tell your stories. And like, yeah, I need to learn some things from you guys and understand that as family, you know, we definitely need to be involved in all this. Unfortunately, right now with the coronavirus pandemic, it makes things even more difficult because oddly enough, our hospice care worker can go see my parents. We're not really allowed to right now, and so that's a little bit scary.
It does take a little more creativity, doesn't it?
Yeah, things are changing every day. Mm-hmm. We're on the front lines getting all the updates, and the rules keep changing, and we're trying to work our way through this. But we really do want to make sure that we're providing the best that's available, right, you know, for everybody. And so it certainly everybody understands these are unusual times, and we're all trying to operate within that.
Well, you've never seen anything like it, that's for sure, in the world right now. Well, you talk about hospice and how important and crucial it is. Is it expensive? Is it something that everyone can get?
So, actually, hospice is fully funded by Medicare or Medicaid.
Hmm.
And so it's not expensive at all. As far as the patient goes, they may have no need to pay for anything. Hmm. Now, let me clarify that for Medicare, those people who qualify, either age or disability, completely covered. And for those that have a financial burden that they can't overcome, the state steps in, Medicaid can completely cover it. So again, probably not any cost at all. And it doesn't have to, and it's not limited to just the core services.
Right.
Medicare is a little different animal, and everything's covered.
Right. Nurses are covered, medical doctors are covered, CNAs are covered, all of your supplies and provisions, pharmaceuticals, literally everything is covered, excuse me. But from our standpoint, those are the Medicare minimum standards that are required to mm-hmm. be covered. We include that palliative portion that does include go over the top with outside therapies. We talked about it last week with massage therapies. We really like to offer physical therapy and just really the personal things. As with my mom, we did really non-traditional therapies. Mm-hmm. We came up with ideas and explored ideas for her that we as kids had never even heard of or considered. But people came in and offered those ideas, and we thought, hey, okay, my mom wants to try it, we'll support it. And she never lost hope, so it was great.
And that hospice company worked around what we wanted to be able to do. And that's
cool.
Really one of the key things that we want to give people an opportunity to explore, you know, whatever makes them feel comfortable, whatever will eliminate any regrets for them.
Well, and one more thing, while the difference between an you know, home health and hospice. So when you're on home health, everything has to be pre-approved, right?
Right.
And we know that quite often we feel like, hey, I still need that. I still need physical therapy. I still need help at home. But those insurance companies come in and they have to pre-approve everything, and they limit what your benefits you're allowed to receive. the difference when you're eligible for hospice, and so you really should ask the questions in advance to make sure that you're taking advantage of it as soon as possible, is the whole intent of hospice is to eliminate any of those worries or concerns.
Make the headaches go away, yeah.
That's right. Once you go on hospice, you no longer have to worry about the financial burdens of your pharmaceutical, your prescriptions expenses, of co-pays. You don't even have to get your family to the doctor anymore. We'll come to you. So it really is a better benefit that we should all be prepared for well, well in advance of actually needing it.
Sounds like I might need a reference, though. Does the doctor do the referral, or how does that come about?
So another great question, because in truth, a lot of people give no consideration to the idea of hospice until it's kind of thrown on them at the last minute, and they're not prepared for it. So quite often, yes, doctors do refer to hospice. That's the most common way that people find out about it.
I've found that a lot of people don't even realize that they have the opportunity to explore different hospice companies, that there are a lot of us out there that sometimes they just think when that time comes, then my doctor will either give me the name of a hospice company or have somebody call me, and then I'll just move forward from there, never really understanding that hospice is very much a choice, and what services are offered and available is very, very different from one company to another.
Right. And you should have an understanding of each of those companies and what works best for you, because there is no one-size-fits-all. So I'm going back to the question, who can refer? In truth, anybody can refer themselves. Well, they can refer themselves to hospice. No. They can refer family members to hospice. They could refer friends to hospice. So if you know somebody who feel is in need of extra care and would qualify, and you don't have to be an expert on qualification, but if you think that they may qualify for hospice, give us a call and we'll talk to you and find out what the conditions are, what the concerns are. We'll be able to bring out professionals and do an assessment and see if that actually would be of benefit and fit within the Medicare program.
Or if you can see that somebody you know and care for potentially will need hospice. Maybe they're currently on home health now, or you have loved ones who have ailing conditions. Find out in advance. Know in advance before the pressure and the concern is upon you. Know what your choices are. In fact, call our office right now. Find out what provisions are available. Find out what services we offer that others don't. Be a part of your choice. That's what we're talking about today, being your best medical advocate. Know what is available and make your own decision, because only you can decide what's best for you. And I said it last week, I love the hospice nurses. There's a nursing shortage, and if you are in hospice, you are compassionate, loving, and you have a desire to serve the seniors in your community. So don't think that only this hospice nurse can serve you. Know what benefits you're going to get, and know you will love your hospice nurse, because it takes a special personality to be a hospice nurse.
Right. So, again, be prepared. Do your research. You have a lot of options. There's a number of different companies that provide that. I think a lot of people would imagine that it's kind of like the hospital here. There's only one, and that's not the case. It's certainly more like doctor's offices. There are a lot of them, and every doctor has their own special way of providing that care, and you should be really informed on what your decisions are long before you have to make them. If you become better educated, you may be able to help somebody else in your life do a better job. And I'll tell you a story, my own personal story about that sometime. But
not yet, huh?
Well, we'll get back to some
only
questions.
Okay. Call in. That's a secret story.
Yeah, that's a secret story. You have to call the office. Now, don't call us right now because this is live.
You're here.
But
yes.
Give us about an hour. We'll get back to the office and recover from this.
Okay, so what if I go on hospice, Richard and Kaylee, and I decide maybe it's not necessarily what I want at this time? Am I stuck? Is that it?
No, that too is a good question. All hospice questions are good questions. There is not a single question that should not be asked. But hospice is all about choice. And if you go on hospice and then you discover that there's some other procedure that you want to try, absolutely, you can get off of hospice. Now, obviously, you can't go on, get off, go on, get off. But when those desires are sincere, you can absolutely go off. In fact, some people don't realize that even while you're on hospice, you can still be treated for those problems or issues that are not tied to your illness. So you can still have outside treatment that Medicare will pay for.
Yeah, let me throw some words in there specifically. You can seek cure for things that don't qualify for hospice. And so
a broken leg.
Yeah.
It's not a scary thing. It's not, okay, I went on hospice and now no doctors will help me. I'm stuck here.
Yeah.
No, so hospice is really about trying to deal with the issues that cause you to be on hospice, and we do everything that we can there. But the rest of medicine is still available, and you can seek those things, and all things that aren't necessarily strictly medical. You can seek alternative solutions to all aspects of your life. And really, what we like about what we do at Pathway is we really try and be more whole in addressing, you know, all of the life issues, not just the clinical issues for some medical condition. We do want to help with stress and anxiety. We want to help get a better understanding to deal with the social and the spiritual parts of this, because people have those concerns.
And help you check things off of your bucket list so that you can create memories with your loved one that will last your lifetime, even long after your loved one passes.
That's right. So let me throw out this question. Is hospice just for the last few days or last weeks of life?
No. Find out early. You should really jump on hospice as soon as you are eligible. Now, the key to that is as soon as you are eligible. I wouldn't encourage anybody to sign on early. But at the point that you choose quality of life over quantity of life, it's time to consider getting onto hospice, because your concerns about monetary issues, pharmaceutical costs, all those expenses that you have, they go away. And you can actually call somebody and say, hey, I'm overwhelmed. I can't keep my house clean. I need help with somebody going to pick up my groceries. I need somebody to watch my loved one while I go on a doctor's appointment or a dental appointment. All those issues are taken from you. You don't have those stressful burdens on you anymore. We do that for you.
Right. You bring up a good point. So let me go just a little bit further. Hospice is not just about the patient. So if you are the patient, certainly we want to deal with all of your stresses and all of your anxieties. But we also deal with caregivers, and certainly many of us are going to be caregivers. So understanding what can be available to you as a palliative-based care service that we are, Pathway really tries to focus on how to make it the best experience under the circumstances for the caregiver and the family too. We really want to be able to draw those things in and make it better. So as far as last few days, last few weeks, if we only have days, there aren't many things that we would like to be able to do to make it a better circumstance.
Right. It limits how much we can do for you. It limits those memories that we can help you create, those anxieties that we can take away for you. As a matter of fact, I think I might have mentioned it last week. When my mother was on hospice, she was on hospice for about 5.5 months. She being from England, she had time to have family come from England to visit her. I had a brother that had not had a lot of involvement in our life for a few years. His life just was very, very busy and structured, and he was living apart from us, and it kind of took him away. But as soon as you found out that, you know, he found out that my mom was on hospice, boy, you bet, but he was there, and he was an integral part of her life before she passed, and I felt like it just brought my mom so much peace, but it also left him with so much peace and without regret. He got to say what he wanted to say, and only time allows those things to happen.
Correct. And if we consider it this way, if we are in a circumstance where we're trying to care for somebody who we know is not necessarily going to improve, every day that we're not using hospice services is a day we're not getting service. We're not getting any help. When we look at the support that we can provide the caregiver and the family in those trying times and give them relief, whether that is some time for themselves or just the having people come in to facilitate the care instead of having to take people long distances or to the doctor every week or so. So those are real important issues.
Okay, so we think of hospice, and the big word that pops up into people's head is cancer. But it's not just about cancer, is it, Richard?
No, actually, the numbers have changed. 15, 20 years ago, cancer was the number one reason that people went on hospice. And that was probably because there was a defined point where a doctor would say, I have done all that I can do, and there is no more that medicine can do to help you with this particular issue.
Well, I think people recognize that so often cancer, once you've attempted the chemotherapy or radiation, that's kind of all there is. Sometimes it works, and at the point that it doesn't, then hospice became obvious. But hospice is available to anybody with a prognosis, you know, estimating 6 months left to live or less, regardless of what your diagnosis is. It can be cancer, but it can be dementia, heart disease, lung disease, stroke, coma, COPD. It could really be a plethora of diagnoses.
Any life-limiting diagnosis. If we can look at the situation and say there is no cure, there is no recovering from this, and then it's a matter of trying to manage to make it the best experience that we can, no matter what.
Richard, touch on quickly, does hospice care permit promoting non-medical treatment alternatives like acupuncture and cryotherapy?
So that's a question that we appreciate a pathway because while not every hospice may consider that an option and it doesn't fit within their prescribed series of duties, we do want to allow patients and families to explore every alternative that would help them feel better about this experience to do all that they can.
We got about 2 minutes left. I think one of the key questions that needs to be asked is, when do I know it's time? I mean, when am I sensitive enough to understand, okay, now I need to call Pathway or another hospice company?
So if you are going to do a really simple diagnosis, it is it a life-limiting condition? Is there something that we know is going to contribute to, you know,
I'd say, are you ready to choose quality of life over quantity of life? And while that's a scary thought in the moment, if you have found out and are prepared well in advance, as we've been talking about today, it will be a lot less scary because you'll realize how beautiful the experience can be when you are involved and when you have a clear understanding, you've been informed and educated.
So we're just about out of time, so let me say that Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care is family and owned independent in southern Utah. We are Medicare, Medicaid deemed and approved.
And a very important distinction is that we are fully accredited by the Accreditation Commission on Healthcare. You may not realize that being accredited is not a requirement, but it is a distinction, a symbol that we provide the highest quality services. We had to prove that we go above and beyond Medicare, Medicaid's minimum standards to achieve excellence.
That's true. Not all hospices are accredited. We look forward to hearing from you this week. Call us at Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, 435-477-6999.
All right. Great job, guys. We will see you next Wednesday, yeah?
We are looking forward to that.
Awesome. Kaylee, Richard, great job. Thank you.